Shri Sri Radha Krishna Govinda Govinda Sham Kundarada Kadigiri
भवे भवति मुक्त समस्त बन्धः
It of course is primary for people who want liberation, but it is secondary for the devotee. But nevertheless, some people are interested in that, so therefore these things are mentioned. Not only here, but we find it other stories as well. And the reason is, of course, that generally to get liberation is a very difficult process. So to promise liberation simply by hearing a story, that means the story is very powerful. Of course, rarer than that is prema. So though liberation is rare, prema is even rarer than that. And by reading the story, listening to the stories of the Bhagavatam, this becomes the actual goal for the devotee. Some stories, of course, are more direct and some are less direct, but they're all connected together to lead to the ultimate goal. So this story, of course, is mainly about distinction of the material body from the soul. And later on, there is the discussion of doing bhakti rather than fruit of activities. The main story itself, of course, is about something which will lead to liberation, that is, understanding we're not the body. To get prema, that is not enough. One actually has to understand and appreciate the form, pastimes, and qualities of the Supreme Lord and develop a relationship with it. That is not discussed in detail in this story. So in that sense, this story is not the main object of Bhagavatam, whereas the 10th canto and hearing the pastimes of Krishna, that is actually the main topic. And this is a preliminary topic because we cannot really approach the Supreme Lord unless first we understand that we are not the body and we are the Atma. So it contributes to the goal, but in itself it does not give complete knowledge. So in this way we should understand different stories and different statements in the Bhagavatam have different sorts of value to them. Now because here it says Mukunda Yasasa Bhuvanam Pranam, it purifies the whole world because it is about the glorification of the Lord. So yes, we find that in the second part of the story where there's instructions on bhakti, etc. Though the main start of this part of the story with the symbolism of the city of Vrindavana is more or less simply to instruct us on how to get out of the material body. But, as I said, this is a preliminary instruction and therefore is related to glorification of the Lord. So it is purifying because it is connected with the Lord. It comes from the mouth of the Varshi Muni, Narada. Therefore, and that is also purifying because of that. Atma Soksham, and it purifies the Atma, misconceptions. And then with the promise, one goes to Paramestyam, and not to have material bondage in the material world. So that is natural, that if one understands one is Atma, then of course one is liberated from material bondage. This of course we must take in conjunction with the instructions on bhakti, and then also later stories and other facts to lead us directly to hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. And then we get that perfection of going to the Supreme Lord. This particular story in its context was proper because Narada Muni had to get the king out of doing sacrifices for material benefits. So the first step is to make the person understand that they are not the material body. So therefore that story was proper. At the same time, to go beyond that, then later on he adds that one should take up the process of devotional service symbolized by the Vidarbhi marrying the king Malayadwaja. And in this way, not only we understand we're Atma, separate from the body, but we also engage in bhakti, or devotional service. So we should not take the two things as separate, and then one is complete in itself.
if we are simply to give up karma, that is not enough. We must also take the process of bhakti. So giving up karma usually leads to jnana. That is, well, first we practice karma yoga, then we go to jnana yoga, then we can go to astanga yoga and bhakti yoga. That is the normal process, or the gradual process. But as we see in Bhagavad Gita and in Bhagavatam, we need not dwell too much on going through these gradual processes as the king was doing, but rather simply take to bhakti. And if we engage in the other processes, we should do them, but we should not be too attached to them. The main emphasis is always upon bhakti. In the Bhagavatam we have different topics, 10 different topics, but the ultimate topic is Asraya, which is the 10th canto. Asraya meaning the shelter or the cause. So the cause of course, everything is ultimately Supreme Lord, and Swayambhu one person is the ultimate form. In that sense, Asraya is proper. But it's Asraya also for not only everything in the spiritual material worlds, but Krishna is also Asraya in the sense that the topic of Krishna is the main topic, and everything else is related to that. So therefore, Sarga, Nisarga, Stana, Poshana, Uti, Manvantara, Ishan, Pratta, Mukti, and Nirodha, they're all related to Asraya, to Krishna. So these are different topics discussed here in the Bhagavad, all these other topics. Some of them don't directly relate to the Lord Krishna, the material world, nothing to do with the Supreme Lord in one sense, because he's in the spiritual world where there is no material world, so that is only a function of Paramatma. Nevertheless, Paramatma is an expansion of the Lord, so therefore, by discussing the material world, its creation, destruction, etc., we also understand the greater power of Krishna. If the expansion of Krishna in the form of Paramatma creates the material world, then how much more power the source of the expansion must, how much more power he must have. So therefore, we can simply take all these different topics in the different cantos as also further glorification of Krishna. At the same time, we understand that these things are secondary to relishing the qualities and pastimes of Krishna himself. That is the main topic of the Bhagavatam. So, therefore, many promises are made in relation to these different stories. But at the same time, the highest promises in relation to hearing directly about the pastimes of Krishna. So this is what directly gives prema in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada is quoted from the Shastastra, Chaitanya Namarjanam. So this is of course just in relation to the name Nam Sankirtana Krishna causes Chaito Dharpa Namarjanam, or purification of the heart. So this is one result, but this is not the final result. Other processes, of course, that's the final result. If you do jnana, then of course you purify yourself and that's it. But chanting the name of Krishna, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, does that, but it does more than that. So not only does it purify your heart of all contamination, but one develops a taste for the Supreme Lord, relishing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And one develops, finally, complete love of the Supreme Lord. So these are greater results than simply getting free of karma and contamination. But because many people cannot relate to the higher aspects of spiritual life, therefore promises like this are given. You get free from material bondage and ignorance and contamination of the heart, etc. So we should understand that by directly chanting the name of Krishna or hearing topics of Krishna, the same thing is accomplished, but more is accomplished. So yes, we get purification of the heart, we get purification of the world, etc. But we actually attain more than that, a relationship with the Lord in the spiritual world. So that is actually the more important topic.
So it's first to 9th canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the beginning of bhakti, is it like that?
No, these are topics related to the Supreme Lord and his powers and qualities, and how he creates and maintains and destroys the material world, and how he enters the material world as avatars to protect the jivas in the material world. So it's about the Supreme Lord, but it's not about the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. So therefore, again, this is a secondary topic, more or less. The Lord, in his purely spiritual topics, of course, is that's the ultimate.
And what about the 11th and 12th canto?
That is also a topic, mukti and nirodha, destruction.
Is there any part of 10th canto that which is more effectful for bhakti, or which is more, you know, powerful to get the love of Krishna? Is there any explanation in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto?
In 10th canto, the main, of course, it depends on one's particular relationship. So if one wants a relationship in Raja, then the first 35 chapters are important, whereas after that he goes to Dwarka, and then he goes to Mathura and Dwarka. So those are lesser forms, Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatama. So the Purnatama form is in Raja. So then obviously those are going to be the ideal chapters. And of that we have the different relationships like Sakya and Dasya and Vatsalya and Madhurya. And of those, Madhurya is considered the highest. So therefore, the chapters concerning Madhurya Rasa, in chapter 29 and 34, those are considered to be the highest of all.
Mm-hmm. The Madhurya Rasa. Yeah. And what about the Santa Rasa? Sometimes we consider that this is also beginning. It's not also the process of bhakti.
It's considered a rasa, but generally it is not favored by devotees because the service is very minimal. It's a relationship with the Lord, but the main piece, not service. So therefore, one does not experience the all aspects, such as Japacharya Bhavas and Sattvika Bhavas, in great intensity there. So therefore, the rasa is not considered very good.
It also seems like Nirvishesha. That Santarasa, it's similar to like a Nirvishesha. That Sunyavadi.
Sunyavadis don't have any relationship at all, so there's a problem there. It is peaceful, but there's no relationship with the Lord. At least Shantarasa is a relationship with the Lord in which one experiences peace. But one experiences the Lord. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Brahmavadi has no experience with the Lord in this form at all. He identifies with the Lord completely.
At the time of initiation, Guru makes his disciples secure to him, like, you know, Diksha Kare Guru, Shishya Kare Atma Sham, something like that. So what the, how to understand this relation between the disciple and Guru, spiritual master?
Prabhupada?
At the time of initiation, the Guru makes his disciple secure to him, like,
makes it
equal to
him. Equal.
Diksha Kare Guru Kare Shishya Atma Sham.
Atma Sham.
Spiritually.
Oh, okay.
Why is that relation?
Well, of course, we obviously cannot be equal because it requires a relationship of a teacher and a student. Not equal in that sense, but we can say equal spiritually. And Atma Sama there doesn't mean equal in all respects, but he becomes, let's say, intimate with him in all respects, and therefore imparts spiritual knowledge, so that his spiritual knowledge becomes his spiritual knowledge because of the closeness. I suppose that's the intention.
Even in Bhagavad Gita, the first in 18th chapter, just listen to the Gita, they get TV here, okay. Mm-hmm. It's only angry here, common commoners.
Yeah. So some of them are material things, like if you read the Govardhan story, you're free of snake bites. But that, well, yeah, okay, so what? For devotees, we don't care about that. So that's not the ultimate goal, obviously. But, you know, so many, even in the nectar devotion there, it gives material results for some of these things. But then, you know, the comment is that those are enticements for people. Or to see the glorification of Ekadasi. He glorifies material goals also. The best one is Ekadasi, you get a kingdom, this one, put for die, you get a son. You know, so that's not actually the goal of the devotee also. That is there simply to turns lesser materialistic purple people to do that vrata. That's not the ultimate goal.
The Gita Mahatmya of deep chapter has something.
Yeah, yeah. So all of this is secondary. It's not so important for the words.
What if somebody, some reader, he gets stuck to this?
Then he gets become material. That's mixed bhakti then. Huh? Karma Mr. Bhakti. I don't know, because I don't know who wrote it. Who wrote it?
Yeah.
It's not mentioned by our Goswamis anymore. Jiva Goswami never, as far as I know, doesn't mention it. Rupa Goswami never mentions it, so I don't know whether they accept that text, or maybe it was written later or something, and somebody introduced it later, or discovered it later, whatever. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know the history. I think it has Bhagavatam stories in it, but what's its authority? I don't know.
Maharaj, after attending so many rounds, how one to understand what's from Krishna Bhakti, or what are the parameters, you know, to proceed from Krishna Bhakti? And so many, yeah.
Oh, well, the depends on the attachment. So, for instance, we have Narottama Vritti Nishtha Rupa Sakti Bhava Prema. So that basically measures the attachment one develops for Krishna, that's all. So the more one is attached to Krishna, the more one is detached from the material world. So those are the two primary symptoms. One negative and one positive.
Now this one part and then another part somewhere, or this is not useful for application. So in the exchange of this, they have to. So now it's considered for go to Amrapur, you have to go to the forest. You can make art to an artist or something. So live in the forest and experiment with your boundaries. That's the best people to live in the forest.
And now we have given all these talents and pieces of legislation. One person. For any Buddhism development, they are given up to 50 meters. All templars in the front of it.
something that can happen now, again, Robert, the three corporations, they want to get different. So, our three is getting ready.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. আপনার বাবা মা বলতে নাকি
গুগল ট্রান্সলেশন
তোমার নাম কি?
Okay.
ఇది కింద
அதாவது மலைக்கு பொண்ணு பார்ப்பாம மாப்பிள்ள வரணும் பொண்ணு வந்து இருக்கிறார்
Thank you.